El mundo enfrenta una pandemia. Encuentre respuestas y acceda a información veraz y confirmada en el especial de NTN 24 sobre coronavirus COVID-19. Escuche los contenidos de NTN 24 en su plataforma de podcast favorita.
All right, guys. How do you relax during these stressful times? Jamie.
Well, you know me, I gotta do my bubble bath, you know? Calgon, take me away. You know what I'm saying? Actually, you know, I probably get the Stop and Shop bubble bath. I got a discount one, right? But it still does the job. I'm relaxed.
Rachel.
Okay, guys, I'm gonna be honest and say that I feel like a horny quarantine-ager because I've been masturbating a lot.
What the?
Am I the only one?
Rachel just went, she didn't even have any subtlety to that. Like,
No shame.
My game.
Adriana.
Honestly, just playing Toon Blast.
Okay.
It does not compare to Rachel's, but it's very arousing for me.
There's no game. There's no competition.
Wow.
Mike.
I just been watching a lot of cooking videos on YouTube. That's it.
Really?
Yeah. And then I just tell Sophie, hey, look, try this out.
Oh, Mike.
Hey, I mean, you know, I'm keeping, we're all being honest. Frank, what about you?
Well, me, you know, guys, taking my long walks in the city, you know, seeing the crackheads and seeing the dope fiends, you know, doing their thing, man. Seeing the old New York come back, man. I'm loving it.
The Latinos Out Loud Podcast.
Yo. Frank, keep it going. Don't let me stop you. This is it, people. Yeah, this is good energy indeed. This is the Latinos Out Loud podcast.
Yeah.
Another virtual quarantine edition. Hi, it's your friend to the end, Rachel La Loca, and also on the Zoom call, we are so happy to have the host of Latinx Therapy Podcast, Adriana Alejandre.
Hey. Thanks, everyone,
welcome.
For having me here. I'm excited to be back.
Yes. Isn't this like a fun homecoming?
It is. It's very different. Last time we did a phone call, actually, and this time it's a video call. So I feel like we're upgrading. I'm getting closer to you all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Last time I wasn't on the show, right?
No, you weren't.
And was there someone else not here? So I never met you.
Yeah. Hi.
Hi. What's up?
No, I think last time you and Rachel were in LA.
Rachel too.
Yes. You guys were actually in LA. And then the last time we saw it, when you won an award.
Yes.
Rachel and I got to meet you there.
Yeah. That's right. In person. Yes. I had just gotten back from my honeymoon a few hours prior to going to Hispanicize.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was fun.
Thank you so much. We definitely thought that it would be an amazing opportunity to speak to you, especially in these times right now where it's, you know, stressful and people are dealing with a lot of stuff. So we are honored for having you on the podcast.
Thank you. Likewise, I feel honored as well to be invited.
Are people close to you? Are they leaning on you? Like you know what? Who could make me feel better? Adriana. I'm gonna call her up and get some some guidance right now. Do you get a lot of like friends of yours calling you, family?
No. There's a really good boundary set up that's been set up. Yes. So with friends and family, no. I think more so strangers on social media, and that makes sense. My clients are pretty stable for the most part, so even them, I feel like they're on a good one. It's more so like social media DMs where people are just like, I don't know what to do, or can you help us? And you know, situations like that.
Mike hits you up a lot, right? Yo, I need advice. Please just answer.
That's why I'm here.
Jamie, that's confidential, right? So I don't know if you should be talking about that. But what is one of the most common things you're being asked in this moment?
I think one of the most common things is how do I manage my anxiety? What's normal and what's not? Just the big one is how do I deal with this, with not knowing what to expect? And I think that that's a very difficult thing to answer because I don't have the answers at all. I can only help people with finding their own inner peace, their own inner like relaxation, because that's all we got right now. Not a very hopeful answer, but it's the truth. But it's not that bad also, because we each can find our own peace.
I agree.
Do you feel like the like your governor has done a great job communicating, and our governor has done a great job? Do you think that people are seeking too much information from social media and from the news? Like, where do you get the balance, but being informed, but then at the same time not getting that stress, because every day you're hearing the total amount of people passing away and being hospitalized?
Such a good question, and also one of my top techniques with anyone that's experiencing anxiety with this. I ask them how much of the news are they consuming, because that is the reason why there's a spike in their anxiety, let alone, you know, if people are already anxious as it is without COVID-19 stuff, it's going to just be at a whole new level. So getting to know what's stimulating them, what are they listening to, or what are they watching, or what are they reading? All those mediums have to be created into one. And I think that people should really, structure their days to try to avoid the news. And if they feel like it's necessary to consume, and so that they can feel prepared and learn, that makes sense too. But to have structure around that, in the sense of like, find when you have the highest amount of energy, not when you're at your lowest, but when you're at when we're each energetic, right? For me, it's during the day. That's when I'm productive and feel good. At the end of the night, I need a nap. I'm done. I'm tired and grumpy. So don't come at me. So that's not an ideal time for me to read the news, because then I'm just going to feel shittier. So find out when individually you have most energy, and then limit your news intake to 5, 10, 15 minutes at maximum.
Now with like the new social distance norms, like, do you think that we're going to revert back to where it was? And that's really a matter of personal opinion, but do you think that as a society, it's going to now be socially accepted to not be as, as embracers as we once were, especially in the Latino community?
Also, good question. I don't think that this will really last too long after we're all safe in the wild. I think that is because we come from a historical, like, collectivistic culture that we miss that, and we're ready to go back into it. And I don't think that social distancing is going to last too much in many cultures, especially where that's our norm.
No, I was saying we did have some questions that people sent to our IG, and I might sprinkle some of them right here. We might sprinkle it throughout the show, but one of them is from someone. They want to know, how do they control their guilty feelings that they have, you know, thinking about all the tragedy that's been going on, but also, you know, they want to enjoy the time that they're enjoying at home with their family and the time together, kind of this extra special time that they normally wouldn't have spent with their family otherwise. How do you balance that? Like, if you have guilt, but then also, hey, this is actually a good thing for me because I'm bonding with my family for the first time in a long time.
Yeah. With guilt, it's so silent, but yet so heavy. And it's hard for others to really know that you're experiencing this. So I think being real about it and sharing it with people that you trust is important, because I find that with any mental health concern, it doesn't do us any good to keep it internalized and to not share it. We actually do more harm when we don't externalize what we're thinking if it's negative. So with guilt, I do think that it's important to share it to someone that you trust. Just talk about it. Give yourself a space to organize your thoughts, to organize your feelings. Whether if you don't have anyone, then that's where a therapist comes in handy. And then outside of that, doing more of that inner work of just self-compassion, just allowing yourself to accept that guilt is going to live with you when you're enjoying some moments, and that it's okay. You can tell that guilt, you know, not now. I'll see you in a bit, right? You'll give it attention in a bit, but to just reorient yourself to the present moment and enjoy that, those few minutes of fulfillment that you're having with so-and-so, right? Or with yourself, even just enjoying quiet time. I know a lot of parents are experiencing guilt right now when they tell their kids to go to one room and they're like in another room, just like hyperventilating and enjoying that quiet space. And that's okay. It's okay for us to, it's just all normal to feel that guilt and to just enjoy our quiet space.
Well, we heard from before, Rachel's definitely enjoying time with herself.
Yes. There you go. I see no guilt right there.
Somebody's got to be good to me right now. Because as you just mentioned, Adriana, suddenly I'm feeling that there's this role modulation in my life that I've never experienced before, where I have to transform from wife to mom to teacher to chef to, you know, all these different roles within the, you know, span of 24 hours.
Yes. Podcaster.
Producer, comedy producer, you know, I still got to process invoices and do stuff on the business side for the businesses. And then that's usually during nap time. Like, I could walk you through my day if you want. We're only at noon. So there's a lot more between noon and the time I go to sleep. But there's this sudden role modulation that I know I'm not alone in when I say, like, it just hit us like, bam. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, and I'm feeling good about it. I'm not feeling anxious about it, thank God, because usually I am a person ridden with anxiety. But I'm feeling very confident about, you know, the shifting, but I'm hoping and praying that it's just not all bubbling up, because I am explosive and I know it. I hope that I don't explode from this. How do I know if I am or not?
I'm expecting for people to explode. If for some people that are usually highly anxious, but they're keeping it cool right now, maybe you're doing that for the sake of other people because you're around, you know, you're the pillar of the family and you have to hold your shit together. That makes sense that it's not seeping out. But there are things that you can do. It doesn't matter. I don't think that you should be anticipating it. I think that you should definitely be engaging in things to help you for the just in case. So more preventative things, like allowing yourself to maybe journal about it. Even if you've never journaled before, allow yourself to just write about it. Write about how each day is going. And then at the end of this quarantine, look back at it and tell yourself some affirmations of how badass you are because of everything that you did. Right. So fluffing your feathers up at the end of it all. And then just sharing, making time to share time with others or moments with others afterwards. So going, allowing yourself to transition back into reality. For everyone, this is going to look different. So these are just very general exercises, but you kind of can't go wrong with the journaling, because it's another element of externalizing and organizing your thoughts.
Just in case people weren't able to listen to you on the first episode, can you just bring us up to speed as far as your background, how you got involved, and what made you want to start your podcast?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist here in California. I have a private practice in Burbank, California, but I also see people all over the state through online. And then I specialize in adults that have experienced trauma. Within trauma, there's anxiety, there's depression, there's all sorts of other mental health conditions. But that is my main specialty. I really enjoy working with individuals who are just survivors of any type of trauma of any degree. I feel very well qualified for it. And I have a podcast, as you had mentioned earlier, It's called Latinx Therapy, and I'm a teen mom. I go around the nation, whoever picks me up, to go talk to their organization, and I do keynote talks about my experience as a teen mom, as a trauma therapist now. So that's a little bit in a nutshell.
You being a mom, how do you think kids are going to come out of this situation, you know?
I already started posting about it. There's some kids like mine that's going to experience intense levels of separation anxiety because the parents are 100% with them. Yeah. And that scares me. But again, I am remaining calm and just doing what I can on a day to day and allowing for some autonomy, like, no, you know, be off screen and allow yourself to be alone in your room. We have this family time still at 6 p.m. and then we all go to our rooms, you know, so creating some structure and yet some predictability within this at the same time is important. And then also, Rachel, to go along with the other question that you had asked, was to just, if you need to be angry, you know, express yourself, give yourself space to do that, because a lot of us are just internalizing and pocketing all of that. And that's what leads to typically an explosion. So if you catch yourself, whether it's you or someone listening doing that, give yourself that moment to cry, to yell, to, you know, do what you need to do. And then if it's aimed towards a child or your spouse, you can always go back and recorrect the experience through communication.
Yeah, I cry. I mean, I usually cry. And then I mentioned, previously, like, I usually will like run and let out a good cry. And sometimes I yell at the river for no reason. I just start talking to the East River, you know? And sometimes I feel like I connect with the waves of the river sometimes. Like, when the river is angry, I'm angry. And when the river is silent, I'm like, all right, you know, it's weird. I don't know what's going on. I'm connecting with nature like I've never before. I have a question for you, though, Adriana. Like, part of my cry run is also smoking. And I just wonder what your stance is on marijuana, Mary Jane, Mary Juanita, as as medicine or as an alleviator of stress and anxiety. How do you feel about it?
I was talking to my husband about this earlier. He's also a therapist, I should say. And I think if it doesn't kill you, you know, eating it naturally, it's okay. I think that's just my philosophy. I don't do marijuana, but I'm in support of people, you know, if it's an herbal medicine, right? It's very natural as well. So I think that if that's people's go-to, that's okay, but always, always in moderation, because anything not moderated can be harmful, truly. Mm-hmm. I think that if you're seeing an increase of use, if you're feeling like you're becoming dependent on it and like you're having thoughts about it when you shouldn't be, and there's an urge, then that's when it's getting alarming. But if you're still in control, then you're okay.
That also goes along with, like, you're saying everything in moderation. I think people's diets right now are out of whack, you know, because you're just buying so much stuff in the supermarket for, you know, two weeks at a time, or 1 week at a time. And, you know, I've eaten every brand of frozen pizza in the last couple of weeks. And I'm like, what is it? You know, I feel like, do you give people a plan to kind of like, all right, you gotta eat some fruits and vegetables somewhere in there as well. Don't just go for the, oh, I'm quarantined, so it's time for the Oreo cookies and all that. I mean, what is there a plan that people could sort of use that you kind of can give advice about?
Well, because of my my licensure and our ethics, we're told to not provide any advice for nutritional stuff. So I do stay away from that, because it's true. I don't know what someone is allergic to or not. And then if I tell them to try it, híjole, like, that's just scary.
I'm allergic to all vegetables. Sorry.
Right. Sometimes it happens. But I think, you know, just... making sure for myself, I guess I could speak from experience, yeah. Right? For myself, I am allowing myself to not have a diet, to just kind of eat whatever I can, as long as I do get a vegetable in a day. I know that I'm out of whack right now, and I'm allowing myself to be this way, And then when the gyms open up, I will, you know, I'm going to try to go back. I'm going to engage more in just transitioning back to a healthier lifestyle, but I'm not being too hard on myself right now.
So obviously everyone's spending a lot of time together, and there's a lot of relationships right now that are spending more time than usual. Is there any advice you can give? Because sometimes we are, you know, you could take a break. You could literally, all right, you know what? I'm going to go hang out with the guys. I want to do this. Like, there's probably moments that are happening right now that naturally doesn't happen because you're spending so much time. So is there any advice you can give to these couples that are in situations right now that are spending a lot of time and is maybe more stress, especially if people right now are dealing with work and family? Is there anything you can give as far as advice to get them through or to communicate?
Yeah, a lot of couples therapists on social media are giving free like advice right now all over left and right. So, you know, just look up the hashtag couples counselor, couples therapist, you know, to find a bunch of techniques. But I think that communication has to be key. I'll say also from personal experience, because my husband is a therapist, we have to share this room right here. And I'm a podcaster. I'm a therapist. I do interviews, right? And we, in the beginning, transitioning was very, very difficult because we weren't communicating about our schedules and our needs. So we did get into some arguments about it, but we realized that we needed to just, you know, talk a day in 24 hours notice so that we could just navigate our feelings around needing one of us needing to be inconvenienced. So talking ahead of time about what the needs of the family or the system, the space is going to be is helpful. Using I statements, I think, I feel, not you need to, you are this. Just a lot of I statements. Start your sentences like that. And just throughout the whole sentence, try to avoid the word you. And that is such a task. And if you can do that, you're plus 10 points ahead of the game.
Wow. Because,
yeah, the word you just symbolizes like pointing the fingers, and people just automatically get very defensive. So it's often recommended to just avoid that word when you're trying to communicate. You can think of the sandwich effect too. If you have a request or a grievance about someone in the family, you start off with something positive about them, you slip in that negative thing, but you end with the positive.
I like it.
There you go.
Speaking of positive, I'm going to end this interview because we got to wrap on a slightly positive note. So,
all right.
I had this experience.
What other one?
I may be hitting you on the side if you do virtual therapy. Anyway, so there was this caterpillar that was crawling on my arm in my sleep, and I woke up to it, and I freak out with bugs. But anyway, after I did the research, caterpillars are pretty spiritual beasts, and they represent a rebirth or resetting and good luck that is on the horizon. So later on that day, Frank happened to be doing some street graffiti or something illegal and tagged up with a butterfly. And we were not, you know, there's a connection here. But anyway, like, could you maybe give us your interpretation? Do you have any spiritual connections that you're feeling or advice that you can give based on these occurrences?
That is a tricky one. That's just heavy loaded, but I'll do my best because I'm fearful of bugs too, so it's difficult finding a meaning within them.
I can't even talk about it without getting like the itches.
Yeah, the heebie-jeebies. It's too much.
I'm itchy.
No, but I think that whatever, you know, in whatever way that you look into a metaphor or a meaning of something, and if that sits true and right with you, I see it as a positive thing ultimately, because that's what's comforting you. We tend to receive what we look for, right? So if you are interpreting that as something meaningful, something positive to come, that's what's going to most likely happen. It's part of the self-fulfilling prophecy. So when we start looking for that meaning, and it could go both ways, positive or negative, we're going to find that answer that we already, that you already planted within you. It's a little seed.
Nice. In other words, Rachel, you're bugging.
Jamie!
Sorry.
Thank you so much. So much, Adriana Alejandre. Thank you.
Okay, you guys, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Hey, America, Christopher Hahn here, the Aggressive Progressive Podcast. What is with the president and the right-wing echo chamber encouraging these AstroTurf protests against stay-at-home orders around the country? It's ridiculous, and it needs to stop. Check out the Aggressive Progressive Podcast wherever you download podcasts.
I'm Royal Oaks. Next time on Too Many Lawyers, COVID continues to reshape the law. Supreme Court arguments will be held by teleconference. The justices won't even know if the lawyers are wearing pants, which is fair given the eternal mystery of what's under those black robes. Los Angeles County is springing 25% of its inmates. The sheriff suggests folks get ready for what might be a spike in crime. Check it all out on the next episode of Too Many Lawyers.
You guys, it's time for Que Lo Que. So Adriana, Que Lo Que.
Whoop, whoop. All right, so you can find me on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter, actually, at Latinx Therapy. But Facebook, just have a space in between the two.
All right, you guys, thank you so much for tuning in. What a wonderful episode. We hope you enjoyed listening as much as we enjoyed recording it. So abrazos, God bless. We out.
It's the Latinos Out Loud Podcast.
Oye, mijo, ¿qué show es ese que están escuchando?
¡Tremenda Vaina!
Hola, amigos, y bienvenidos a Tremenda Vaina, el show donde escuchas cuatro historias que desafían la realidad. De las cuatro, solamente una es mentira. ¿Cuál será? Nos puedes encontrar en tu plataforma favorita. iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, iHeartRadio. Suscríbete hoy.
Y esto es Tremenda Vaina.
¡Tremenda Vaina! Ha ha ha.